All right, welcome into a special edition of Stacking the Box. I, of course, am Matt Verderam, and we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend of Good Morning Football, Mr. Kyle Brandt. Kyle, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm not the myth. Listen, you're the guy who still has pennants on your wall. I'm jealous of you. I love pennants. I grew up on pennants. You're the myth, Matt.
Hey, look, we bought this house a few years ago, got the office, told my wife, you can decorate the whole house. I don't care. I want my office. I love old school stuff. I love old school pennants. Yep. Every AFL team up on the wall. So I'm good to go.
Oh, we've sat here for a year and looked at every person and every avenue of media with every idiosyncratic knickknack on the shoulder above them and bottleheads and Nintendo games and album covers. I like yours. I like the old pennants. You don't see pennants anymore. So I'm into it.
Bring them back. Bring them back.
Yes.
if it was good once, it'll be good again. So
that's what now, I'm saying.
I'm curious. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, you've had a very interesting route to get to Good Morning Football. Like, you weren't the guy who played in the league for a decade who then got on the show, which is cool. That's how most guys do it. Nate Burleson did it. Nate's been on the show before. Nate's a great guy. That's how he got there.
Yeah. It's all right. You
were on The Real World, Chicago. And then you were on a soap opera, and it just kind of kept rolling. And then all of a sudden, you're on Good Morning Football. But I'm curious, The Real World is now like its own cottage industry. It was really at its zenith when it came out in the 90s, and then you were on it and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you to be on that show? Like, did it actually feel like the quote-unquote real world? Or were you like, yeah, I'm constantly aware that Joey's got a camera in my face? Like, How did it feel for you as someone who's watched that show? I'm curious your insight from being inside of it.
Yeah, it's funny, Matt, the way you're saying it, someone might be listening and thinking like, oh, you mean when you entered the real world, like left college? I'm like, no, the actual one from MTV with Puck and Ruthie and all that stuff. I was crazy enough to be on that. I did it a week after I graduated college. It just by purely coincidence, it was in my hometown of Chicago, just it having nothing to do with casting. It's just where it ended up. You know what's so funny is that, so you got that corny catchphrase of find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. That's sure. What they've been saying for 40 years or whatever. I cannot tell you how accurate that is, because you get there and you're like, yeah, I'm 22. You know, I'm on the same network as Korn and O-Town. This is going to be great. We're going to party. We got a hot tub here and there's some good looking girls here. And like, I got no responsibility. My friends they're wasting away at iBanking or still internships. Like, let's go. And that lasts like several weeks. Like it just goes one after another. This is awesome. And then people stop being polite and they start getting real, and it goes to hell, because you're like, all right, like when you're done with Vegas, put it that way. You're like, you're done with Las Vegas. You've been there two nights, like you pushed it, you're three nights.
You're
very
done.
Good God, just put me in a wheelbarrow and get me to the airport. Like, I hate this city. Imagine you're there, but you have to be there for 4 months and you can't leave. Or you could, but then they'll film you leaving dramatically while they play Puddle of Mud, and you'll like, I don't want that. So it was like, when people start getting real is when you get sick of each other, when you start fighting, when you had a fling going on with this girl, but now it's gone to hell and you still have to live with them. So the very short answer is the catchphrase is true. It's really fun for a while, and then it's hell on earth for the end.
The big mistake for any of those people was always to hook up on the first night, because it's not like you're going to find Mr. or Mrs. Right. Okay. And then you're stuck, as you said, for 4 months in a house with that person who's probably hell bent on making you jealous or just ruining your time for the next 100 days.
You're right.
It's not good.
See, Matt, I can tell you, watch. That's very insightful. The problem is that's very prudent too. And you know, I'm sure you're not at the real world age now. You've gotten older, you've gotten more mature. You know, you appreciate finer things like retro penance. I were to take you at 22 and thrust you in on night one, you get so intoxicated just by the experience and the cameras and the house is insane. It's some sort of Wonka acid trip. Like, you'll hook up with anything. Like, I would have hooked up with Mrs. Doubtfire on night one. It doesn't matter. You're just so excited. But then again, you're like, oh, well, that was probably a big mistake. And then you got to be not only like housemates with them, like sometimes actual physical roommates were like, their bed's there, their bed's here. And you're like, wow, we got 108 days to go on this thing. That probably wasn't the great chess move to start the game with.
No, it's basically like college. Nobody makes good decisions. All right. So last thing on this, no moving to football, but I'm just fascinated by it. So like,
yeah, go for
after,
it.
After the real world, especially at that mm-hmm. time, it's starting anyway, maybe a few years later, the challenge. And it's like road rules and real world. And people are originally competing for like $100,000. Now, of course, you're like a millionaire. Yeah. Doing this thing. I find that show both hilarious and fascinating, especially because there are some people on it who legitimately are on it for like 20 seasons. Did you ever consider it? Did you ever want to go on it? Did you get invited to go on it? Like what did any of that ever happen for you?
Okay. I got invited a couple times right after my Real World experience, back when it was on its ascension. This is talking 02, 03. It was almost 20 years ago. And it was an immediate no because A, I was psychologically traumatized from the Real World experience. And B, damn it, I'm a serious thespian now. How dare you even think I was going to go back on that thing? I got serious things to do, like Days of Our Lives. But here's the thing now as an adult. You know, I've been married for 10 and a half years. I got a 7-year-old. I got a 4-year-old. Sometimes you're like, I'm in this middle-aged lull. Maybe I should go do it. Maybe I should say, screw it. I'm going to go down to Cabo and I'm going to try to, you know, win the competition and win a jet ski or something. And you start to get the itch. Here's what happens. Here's what talks me out of it every single time. I'm channel surfing, or more likely I'm on social media, and you'll see this video clip. And it starts with this season on the challenge. And that is followed by approximately 60 seconds of just an absolute sarlacc pit of disgusting, terrible content that I want nothing to do with. Like, I don't need to do like the night cam triple kiss that they're doing, or like, I don't want to get sucker punched by some guy in a bandana on HGH who's like 18 years younger than me. Like, I will stay here. I will DVR my Firefly Lane, and I'll have my beer and I'll pass out at 7:42. I ain't never going to jump in there, 'cause it's not going to go well for me. I'm past my prime right now, Matt. You catch my drift? It's not for me.
Hey, listen, life worked out okay. Guys, thank you for listening, but this is an important message. Support for Stacking the Box is now being brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming company. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. And we have an exclusive offer for my listeners, 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. That is 20% off and free shipping. You cannot beat it. So go over to manscaped.com, check out all their latest stuff, including the Lawnmower 3.0, plus the perfect package. Check it out. It's a can't miss. Manscaped, something if you're a man, you need to be aware of. Again, go to manscaped.com, and for the code, it's FANSIDED20. So now that you're into football, let's get into football. I'm going to just fire off a handful of things, get your thoughts. Deshaun Watson, week one. Where is Deshaun Watson week one? On his couch, on the Texans, on another team? Where does he end up?
Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears. Now, listen, am I a homer? Am I loyal to the 847, the north suburbs? Hell yes, I am. But I'm at this point where I just think, I don't care what you have to trade. I don't care if it's irresponsible. Trade Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Cody Whitehair, Roquan Smith, the deed to Soldier Field, own everything. Just trade it all. I don't care. I want the Bears, if they're going to lose, I want them to lose 56-53. For 100 years, they've never had the situation where they're like, you know what? Man, we got a great quarterback. If only we can build around him. I want that situation. So I think to say, screw it, to hell with it, prudence out the window, Deshaun Watson to the Bears.
Does Russell Wilson get traded, or is he in Seattle come week one?
I think he's in Seattle. I want everybody to move because I like chaos. I like to flip the table. I'm an agent of chaos. But I think we will look back to this month, this next season, I'll be like, man, it got real back then in March, didn't it? Remember Russell had a list of teams and he was like, he was serious. No, as usual, Seahawks are 8-2, and he's great. I just don't think you could possibly be ownership for the Seattle Seahawks and be like, you know what we should do? Let's just trade Russ. No, you don't. It's what you have, the golden goose. That's what everybody wants. It would be the biggest, craziest trade, I think, in NFL history. I mean that because you don't get a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime and trade him. I don't think it's ever happened. Not really. So I think he'll be in Seattle.
At the beginning of the offseason, back in January, I reached out to a handful of GMs in the league and said, look, if you were the Texans GM and you had Watson, what would it take for you to listen? And it was basically a uniform answer of at least three first-round picks, probably a player. Now, I know Wilson's 7 years older. It's probably still three first-round picks. Like, if you're Seattle, you're not dealing him for two firsts and a third. There's no way. I don't even know that three firsts give you value. But do you think if Seattle got offered – three first, do you think they'd at least listen? Or if you're Seattle, if you're Schneider and Carroll, you say, you know what? There's no way. We need him, especially in the division, by the way, that now has Matt Stafford, that Jimmy Garoppolo is coming back healthy. Kyler Murray now is J.J. Watt on the other side of the ball. Like, three first-round picks. Are you listening if you're Seattle?
No, I'm out. You know why, Matt? I hate picks. I do. I'm not philosophically. I think draft picks are pixie dust. They're very seductive and they're flashy and everyone wants them. Half of them don't work out, and that's being generous. It's a burn in the hand. Russell Wilson, he also is on record. He wants to play for a long time. Like, this is not a guy who's going to wrap it up in 2 years. Draft picks are nonsense. You know, Mitch Trubisky was a first round pick. He was the number two overall pick. What does that mean? It's nothing. It's like handing somebody, saying like, give me a bunch of money and I'll give you some scratchers. Give me $20 and I'll give you five stacks of scratches. The scratches almost never have anything. I just think the draft fails way too much. And right now people get drunk on this, like, this fantasy. It's like buying a timeshare. It's going to be great. We're going to go all the time. Draft picks at least half the time are terrible. So you never trade a good player for them. I don't believe in it.
The Jets still have Sam Darnold. They also have the number two overall pick, and they're no longer burdened with Adam Gase. And so I think the Jets might have been the only franchise – the fans were actually happy they didn't have to go to the games last year. Probably relieved. Okay. Now Gase is gone. Robert Saleh's in. Number two pick. Let's say Lawrence is off the board. It seems like he's certain to go to Jacksonville. If you're the Jets, you taking Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields, or are you trading back? Are you keeping Sam Darnold? How do you look at it? I personally feel like they have to take the quarterback and trade Darnold. I just think they've broken that thing beyond repair. Your thoughts?
I'd trade way back. Hey, listen, here's how I would look at this with Darnold. Remember when the crazy thing was going on with GameStop and it's going all the way up and it's Robin Hood and all this? All those people who got into it, their whole creed was, once it went up and, you know, it started falling, their whole creed was hold the line. Hold the line. That's where I'm at with Sam Darnold. Hold the line. Adam Gase is gone. Adam Gase has shown one thing. It's consistently that every single player who plays for him is terrible. And the second he's gone, he turns great. Exhibit A, Ryan Tannehill. There's exhibit B through Z too. If you keep Darnold, the highest ceiling of anything that could happen for the Jets, the greatest possible outcome, they keep Darnold. He takes a huge jump this year with a new coach and a fresh start. And they get a wealth of money and picks and just sprinkled talent all over the place. I think keep Darnold. I really do, and I know people are over him. Hold the line, keep Darnold, and surround him with the most talented team in the AFC this side of the Chiefs.
All right, couple more. So we got the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I'm thinking it's going to cost $40 million a year to get him on a long-term deal. I get people say he's not worth that. He's off the ankle injury. Doesn't matter what he's worth. It matters what he can get. He's not going to get Mahomes money. Nobody is, but he certainly could get – the second most behind him, if he got the free agency, he would get that kind of money. Cowboys probably tag him, try to sign him. Do you think it's a good idea to sign him $40 million per if you're the Cowboys come this spring or this summer?
No, it's there are no good ideas here. There are no good options. It's exhausted. They should have done it 2 years ago when it was way cheaper and they had way more leverage. He does have all the leverage. So you sign Dak Prescott to $40 million a year? They're never winning a Super Bowl. I'll say they're never winning a Super Bowl. Not because he's not good. He is. He's just not incredible. He's not going to be Russell Wilson, I don't think. And there's not going to be enough players around him. You're telling me that Dak is going to have $40 million a year And Zeke has my least favorite contract in the entire NFL for running back who's fallen off the planet, who's plotting. And you know what, Matt? They folded. They lost their nerve before the season started when he was in Mexico and Jerry said, screw it, get him up here. Let's pay him. So no, I'd tag him. Just keep on tagging him. I don't care. I'm not signing the world over for $40 million to Dak Prescott. But as I said, none of the options are good. It's absolute hellish purgatory. It's like being on the Real World Challenge. There's no good options.
I think they'll sign him because I think you need a quarterback to compete and they're not going to have many options. Although I agree, options aren't great. And that Z contract does kill him. You always pay the quarterback. Terrible. You pay a running back. And you're right. Leave him in Cabo. He signed for 2 more years. Who cares? Where's he going?
Adios.
Not going to retire. So we agree on that. And then look, lastly, I've got to get on to it. You have a podcast of your own here as we're on Stacking the Box. You have 10 questions with Kyle Brandt over on the Ringer Network. It's a great podcast. You've done it with Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, Tyrann Mathieu. Tell everybody a little bit of what that's about and why is it different than other podcasts?
Because we keep score, because the contestants are contestants. They're not guests. I don't have guests. I have contestants, and they're nervous. They're nervous as hell. I can't say how many times, Matt, that you bring somebody in, whether it's, you know, like you said, Tyrann Mathieu, or it's Brett Favre, or it's Rodgers, and before you start recording, they sit down, and, you know, they're checking their light and stuff like that, and they'll be like, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit nervous right now. And we're like, nervous? You're first ballot Hall of Famer. You went to the Super Bowl. It's because they leave with a score. And what I mean is I ask everybody the 10 questions. It's kind of a random trivia question that seems to be a complete tangent away from them. But then I apply it to them. If they get it right, they get a point. If they get it wrong, they get squat. Alex Smith, the comeback player of the year, is our all-time leading scorer. He got a 9 out of 10. Steve Smith Sr. might be in the Hall of Fame someday. Got a 3 out of 10. We've had all kinds of people come in and they leave and they're like, they'll text me and be like, I'm sweating right now. I can't believe I only got a 6. I blew it. Can I come back on? And we say, no, you got to get back in line. So you know this, having talked to athletes, if you tap into their competitiveness, they turn into a completely different person. It's really fun and really different.
It's great. I've listened to it many
Thanks,
times.
Man.
No, absolutely. I mean that genuinely. It's interesting. It's fun. The Rodgers stuff, I thought you got great stuff when he talked about Jordan Love pouring 4 fingers of scotch. And you can kind of picture it. Like with Aaron Rodgers, you can sit him, you know, see him just sitting there like, okay. And then he goes out and becomes the MVP. You talk about competitiveness. That's competitiveness. So, Kyle, thank you for coming on. Again, for anybody who doesn't know, if you've been living under a rock, Kyle is on Good Morning Football with Peter Schrager, Nate Burleson, Kay Adams on NFL Network every weekday morning. And then, of course, look, if you need more Kyle, there's a lot of streaming services these days. Go watch The Real World from 20 years ago. Go watch Days of Our Lives. It's the dream.
Yes. Shout out to anyone living under a rock and huge love to anyone living in Rockford.
Oh, God, Rockford. Beautiful, beautiful. The snow might melt by the end of the day. It's a wonderful thing.
Here we go. Get out the good wine.
That's right. That's right. Gonna break it out. All right, hey, Kyle, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Matt, great job. Anytime, man.